You see that? Let me do that again. But the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people in those days, even as there shall be false teachers among you in these days. See, that's the wrong place to put a chapter. In the middle of a thought, they put a chapter, okay? So you know God didn't do it that way. That's imperfect. Okay, anyway, there's false teachers among you who privately will bring in damnable heresies. This is going to happen. This is how it happens. Let's look at some, and it goes on and give you more of their ways. And Jude had to deal with the same problem. And these, you know, of course, Peter's ready to be offered to the Lord. He's ready to go on to be with the Lord when he wrote this. Now, let's look at what happened in the book of Acts. See, to the pure, everybody's pure. So we don't want to believe the worst about people. But God is looking right at it. He knows what's happening. And God knows what to do about it. And there was a man. All right. Here it is. Simon the sorcerer. Okay. In Acts chapter 8. It says, all right. Philip went down. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city came, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, even saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Now watch this. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now watch this. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. Now, how many times, now Peter was alert, how many times do people like Simon fall through the cracks? Just think about it. Now, sometimes they get caught and called out. Sometimes they fall through the cracks. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts people to say what needs to be said, and we chicken out and don't speak the word of God. And people like Simon fall through the cracks. He's already set up to become a tool of the enemy, judging by the words that Peter said. He was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. But the good thing is, he said, "Pray the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." Now, Peter told him to do that. He asked Peter to do it. I guess he had more confidence. I hope the brother got saved. I mean, I hope he continued in the things of God. But see, his thinking was way off. This is common among men. If people love praise or power, that is sin. How many times do people try to upstage others, or they get offended at people's knowledge? You know, Paul said, he told Timothy, don't let people despise your youth. You know, when we handle the things of God, the holiness of God, the wonders of God, the wisdom of God, we're enabled to speak way beyond our years. So it's very important not to, you know, I like what Robert Morris said. I watched him Sunday. He pointed out something in that Paul had wrote I can't do it like he did it right now, because he had the revelation, and I'm going to need the scriptures to help me do this. Let's see, what was it? He was repeating the advice Paul gave Timothy to entreat the old men as fathers and the young men as brothers, as equals. See, in God's house, there's no big eyes, little youths. You're regarding the old men as fathers, okay? Because they've been there, done that. That's helpful to us to always recognize that people that's ahead of us, we need to respect that. Because when they speak by revelation and knowledge, it's like a bank. It's like wealth in a bank. But he said the young men, even those that are younger than you, you're old enough to be their father or grandfather, you treat them like brothers. And I said, man, I never would have saw it that way. But even though it's written that way, I mean, you know, sometimes things get biased. But when you focus on something, there's wisdom in it. Now, if we do things according to God's protocol, pay attention. We all need to be reading and absorbing what the apostle said to the upcoming apostle. Timothy was an apostle too, because he was teaching, he was trained. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus, Paul is training younger men to be apostles to take his place. See, and we all need that training. Whether we're an apostle or not, we still need that apostolic training. That's what he was doing. And if you do it right, you can be like Peter and prevent people from falling through the cracks. Let them know you're not getting away with this. They always do these things in the dark. The false prophets come when people in the church is asleep. They privately sneaking in. They know it's wrong. Anything that's got to hide is sin. If you've got to hide something, there's sin in it. Every time. I don't care who it is. They know it's wrong. That's why they're trying to hide. If you're trying to hide it, you know you're wrong. They privately sneak these things in. Now, I pointed out in yesterday's broadcast, things work in cycles. all of the nations around Jerusalem were Christian nations when the gospel went out. We read, you know, Ephesians, you know, all the seven churches that Jesus was addressing. They were nations like Turkey and Iran. And they were in Asia Minor, you know, but they were surrounding nations. They were Christian nations too. I was watching the History Channel. It was showing abandoned places. And it was a beautiful hillside, but it was abandoned. It had homes all on this hillside. Come to find out that half of them was Christian and half of them were Muslim. And they had a war and fought each other, and they vacated the whole place. And it's just the buildings left. And it could be rebuilt. When people love God and go in God's presence and learn of Him, and then the enemy sow bad seeds, false teachers, then it starts the process of shutting down and hardness of heart. And to the point that if there's no law to govern it, the wicked will kill the just and start a war, and it'll be killing. And then they can't learn from each other because there's strife. And then the next thing you know, is not a Christian nation anymore. So God, he didn't trust man with all of the land mass. He created a Christian nation in North and South America. Not that Europe is fallen completely and Asia is fallen completely. They still have Christians there. Russia killed a lot of their Christians and worked against a lot of their people, made it against the law. Basically, you couldn't have license at one time if you were, but you know, they got away from that. Henry Grover was instrumental also with that. He prayer walked that place. He prayer walked the headquarters of Russia, and they stopped the, you know, their laws. They lifted their evil laws. Everybody needed to listen to Henry Grover. His testimonies was just off the chart, and the strategy of prayer walking that God gave him, it set a good pace for us. He prayer walked many nations. Honor's due to where honor's due. That's just the way it is. Now, you can watch him on YouTube. His testimonies are very valuable. And his methods of using authority is different. I learned authority mostly from Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and I read the writings of Lester Sumrall. But people who use authority, they do it their way. They do it. I think Kenneth Hagin was the most thorough, but Henry Grover, he did his authority in obedience as God prompted him to. And he did some great, outstanding things. And people in all Christian camps need all this counsel. It's important. The way that Henry Grover used authority, the way Kenneth Hagin did, and the way Lester Sumrall did. Lester Sumrall learned it in the field. Kenneth Hagin learned it by revelation from Jesus. That's why I say his is the most thorough. I learned it from a guy named Chris Lucas, who probably learned it from because of Kenneth Hagin anyway. But anyway, when I listened to the Believer's Authority tapes that Mr. Austin let me use, it took the lid off. There were no limits in the way that Kenneth Hagin taught it. There were no limits. And I was able to stop gunfights and all kinds. I talk about that in other broadcasts. But let's continue. People of God can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And so, if you don't understand authority and you got enemy soldiers with guns and knives, then all you understand is guns and knives, then in other words, let's put it this way. Henry Grover said something once. He said, When you fight spiritually, there are no casualties. Because Paul said the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So when people learn to fight spiritually, they can prevent wars from in the first place. Now, Kenneth Hagin had a prophecy way back in the 60s that he saw America cities burned up. They were burned out holes after the third war that's going to happen. And the Lord showed him that if the gospel don't spread, that's what would happen. Now, I grew up in them times in the 60s, in the 70s. That was almost in John F. Kennedy's day, that the Bay of Pigs, you know, they. I went to school right up the street or up the hill from the. There was a. Looked like a pool hall or a bar. That's where they. And I found out later that that's where they planned their invasion of the Bay of Pigs. Right down the street from where I was going to elementary school. I went to Curry Elementary School, and the airport's right next to it. And the military guys would go to that bar, and they hatched out the plan right there in that room, not far from the school I went to. How about that? Anyway, the gospel did spread. People did learn to use their faith. They learned to use their authority enough to the point that we prevented this war from happening. See, obedience, if people don't know how to be obedient, then a lot of things can't happen. But I'm saying these things because that the insurrection was slowed down, but there's still an insurrection. There are still internal enemies in the Christian camp. And that's why the Lord had to give that word my response. See, the wicked are not going, they're going to be left here. They can't go to heaven. And sometimes they're our loved ones. Sometimes they are, and they're people that we care about. But those that are salvageable, we need to be on it. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be doing whatever God put in our hearts. Now, John pointed out there's a sin that's under death. Don't pray for that. That's what I'm talking about. People that sin under death, you can't stop. But the sin that's not under death can be changed. And the Lord, last summer, the Lord said, people present themselves. And I said, where are we going with this? That's what was on my mind. Well, he said, I'm finna learn something. And here I am now teaching about balance and God's response to the wicked that he's going to leave back. See, it's important to understand all these scriptures are perfect. And if proud people can't value, appreciate, you know, they'll never be balanced, and they can't value it or appreciate it. There's nothing God can do for them. I want to give more clarity, so I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 6. Now watch what God told us to do in the first place. Verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That takes a choice of your will to go on to perfection. In other words, become born of God, not just born again, but become born of God. Let the words get in you and take root. And every time you confess the word over your life in any situation, the word of God grows roots in your good heart. Okay, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Not just rehearsing what you already understand, you know. Then he continues, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. See, and this is what we do if God permit. People want to study these kind of things instead of learning more about who God is after you've been saved by Jesus. You know, continue on. I went to a holiness church and there were preachers who would teach every Sunday. not in our church, but at others that we fellowship with. Let's see, you had to receive the Holy Ghost, believe on Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, and be baptized in Jesus' name. They preach that every Sunday. Okay, great. Now, he's saying, let us go on to perfection. Let's learn of the Lord. The Lord said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you come to understanding, it is. He didn't say just study the doctrines all day. Okay. Now watch verse 4. Something dangerous is afoot. Verse 4 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. He said it's impossible. If they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify them to themselves, Jesus afresh, and put him to an open shame. That's verse 4 through verse 6. God said it's impossible. I read it again. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This is the kind of scripture I used to try to ignore. I said, I don't know about that. I don't even want to think about that. I want everybody who believed on Jesus at one point to be saved. It just don't work that way. 2 Peter 2 and Jude proves it. And understanding the mind of the ways of a proud heart, I can see it. It's written that way for a reason. So that this is something that we need to understand. If you get an understanding, you can be free. Then he gave an earthly example. He said, for the earth drinks in the rain that comes oft upon it, and bring forth herbs fit for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is near to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak this way. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. For in God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, and the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, and lay hold upon the hope set before us. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest for us, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, what Jesus did, he set us up to be just like him. But because people allow pride in their heart, and they, or the leaven of sin, or any sin, once they become leaven, it's not in their will to come back. They come to a point because of leaven. You know, even God said a proud man can never be balanced, valued, or appreciated. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly. It's a worldly view. See, the pride looks within, not to the Holy Spirit, but pride looks to itself. You know, it loves power, preeminence, and pride. All that, you know, like Diotrephes didn't want John around. See, it began to happen in John's day. It began to happen before, you know, Peter and Paul knew what was going to happen. John knew what was going to happen. Diotrephes didn't want a man like John around. He loved preeminence. That's just the way it is. That's the mindset of the proud. Consider these things, because God is perfect. Those that believe would do greater works than Jesus. He that believe. As an individual. He's not talking about the collective body. Just the individual that believe would do greater works than Christ. Consider these things. We have a strong heritage. We have the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're better than natural weapons. Yeah, natural weapons can kill the body, but a natural weapon can't stop the war in the first place. Consider what we have in the Lord and do his will. Go about doing good. But understand the position of the Father and flow in the Holy Spirit. When he says yes, it's yes. When he says no, it's no for a good reason. It's up to you to find out why. But never be contrary to the Holy Spirit. Be on board with him. And contend for the faith, doing all that's in his heart. Now that's my confession. That's my top confession. I will do all that's in God's heart for me to do. I will be whatever he need me to be. I will yield to the point that I can do what he say do. Because the backbone of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He'll help me. He'll compensate me for whatever I need, he got. And also, my secondary confession, everything that's like Satan got to go. Whether it's in my foresight or blind spot, it's got to go. I hate it. Now that's the fear of the Lord, when you hate sin, arrogance, proudness. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.